This month, I've been speaking about the power of the Spirit and how the Spirit is born with us, the Spirit changes us, the Spirit transforms us, and eventually, even when we, our bodies, pass on, the Spirit lives forever. Our lives are brief, but we have the greatest opportunity to learn and change and become something greater than we started out as, if we allow the Spirit to impact us, to move us, to break us, to mold us, to fill us in ways we could not imagine, but ways that can make our lives transcendent. One of the wonderful things about this story of Jesus being transfigured and showing on the mountain to his disciples, as bright as light, and then surrounded by Elijah and Moses, and the Word of God reaching down to Jesus and telling the disciples in particular, "This is my Son. Listen to him. Follow his word." What I love about that is that it gives each of us a chance to be changed ourselves by the power of God in our lives. For Jesus is the great example of giving one's life completely to God, no matter the cost, to become something more than just another human being. Each of us have that chance in our lives to become more than just another human being. And it'll be unique to each of us what that means and how it plays out and what God has in mind for us. For each of us have our own unique talents and gifts, ways of perceiving life, talents that will be called upon to bring the Spirit into this world that much more fully, more richly, more powerfully than might happen otherwise. But the thing is, we have the ability to let that happen or not. We have the, well, we can set a boundary up. We can say, "No, God, that's not what I have in mind." Or we can say, "No, that's not how I see God working in the world." Or we can say, "No, I don't trust this." Or, "No, I'm afraid." Or, "No, can't you come back tomorrow because this is a really busy day?" And that's how it works. That's the hard part. God comes to us, knocks on the door, shows up in our lives in some way, and we don't necessarily recognize it because we don't think, "Well, that's not how God would be. God's going to act like he does in the Bible. God's going to make an announcement. There'll be a trumpet. There'll be a bright light that'll overwhelm me." You know, all those things which are great. And yeah, they do happen in the Bible. But that doesn't mean it's how God is going to be in our lives. So we have to take the chance, the risk, that God will speak to us. And so we have to be listening and practice listening so that the Word of God actually is in our lives as individuals, as each of us can be changed by that miracle, that mystery, that enigma that is the divine. I've been thinking a lot about this because of the worship series, but also because I think it's at times confusing trying to understand the difference between the Spirit and the soul and, you know, which is God and are they both God or are they the same thing? And I spoke about this a little bit last week, but I think it bears repeating or maybe clarifying a bit more. The soul, each of us are each of us are souls. The soul is like the container that holds the Spirit of God within this particular form. So just as each of us have a body, each of us are male or female or one ethnicity or another, one age or another, one state of physical health or not, and another, one age or another, all of that. Well, the soul is like within that physical body as the spiritual body, perhaps. It can't be seen, but it is the part of each of us that is sensitive to, incredibly sensitive to, everything that happens in our lives. Let me give you an example of this. Each of us were born at one point, physically born. And most likely we don't remember that time very well because it was a long time ago, and we didn't have our minds developed the way we do now. But even today, if you as adults, I think we're all adults in the room now, if you see a newborn child, maybe a relative or a child of a friend or someone you even just see on the street, a newborn child, you know that that newborn has such a different sensitivity, different awareness. It's almost like they are from an alien world, that they have come here to Earth. So the newborn child, of course, has a body and all of that, but the awareness, the presence of the newborn child is the closest thing probably most of us can imagine to what a pure, unfiltered soul is like. Because that newborn child will grow and change and develop, and they'll take on a personality, and they'll understand what their name is and who their family is and what's expected of them. And eventually they'll grow up and go through adolescence and get a job and get married and all of those things that we all do. But all of that life, all of that experience at times can impact us more and more and more, so that we forget that underneath all of that is a pure, sensitive, present, loving soul. The soul that God gave us at birth, and probably before birth. So we have our physical bodies, we have our souls, and then there's the spirit. And the spirit is the power, the life force, the vitality that is God, the mystery, the richness that is God, that is behind everything else. Because without God, no body, without God, no soul. The spirit is what underlies pretty much everything else. Now, I know this might still be incredibly either confusing or maybe even boring. So I'm going to use a different tack still, which is to talk about the body and the spirit in relationship to how we might speak about technology. So the physical body is like the computer, or the iPad, or the iPhone. It doesn't have to have an I in front of it, by the way, to be the physical body. It can be any brand name of technology can be considered an example of the physical body. So at a certain point, your laptop, your hard drive, your phone dies, starts to go wonky, doesn't work anymore, you need to get a new one. So, you know, that's sort of like our bodies. At some point, our bodies will fail and we will pass on. Our souls, however, are like the software, like Microsoft 10. Now, I know from conversations I've had with our office manager that some of us really don't like software very much, and don't like switching from Microsoft 8 or 7 to Microsoft 10, never mind 11 and 12 that are coming at us really fast right now. And I get that. But that's just it. The soul, which lives well beyond the body, is like the software that is adapted, that changes, that evolves. Your operating system in your computer or your laptop or your phone, you get upgrades on a regular basis, right? And so the software is constantly evolving and changing, whereas the physical material of the computer or the phone or the iPad, it can only change so much. So the body is like the hard computer. The soul, that is us, our lives to some degree, change like the software. And then what's behind it all? The spirit. And the spirit is electricity, power, the energy of the universe, the force. Thank you. And where is the force? It is with us. The force that is behind all things is God. Now, I know this can just seem sort of silly, and it is, but because it's sort of silly that as humans that we're trying to talk about God, that it is so far beyond us. And when I say that, I don't mean that God is smarter, more present, more able, even though God is all those things. But what I mean is that we're trying to talk about something that really words don't fit around. You know, if you look in Scripture and try to find where it describes God and God's nature, the one that I keep coming back to is when God speaks to Moses and tells Moses, you have a job to do. And Moses is like, I don't want to deal with that. God getting the people out of Egypt and over to the promised land? Who shall I say, when I go back to the people, who shall I say told me to do this? I am. Tell the people that I am sent you. The most powerful, complete, rich, everywhere and everything. What does that mean? It's the ultimate mystery. There's no way of defining God, and that's why God has so many names. God, for us, generally speaking, in the Methodist system, is the one God, which is very, very similar to the Jewish one God, which is very, very similar to the Muslim one God. And yet we know how all three groups approach it differently. And at times we'll get into not only heated discussions, but generational wars about the differences between one definition of God and another. That doesn't even take into account the gods of all the other cultures and parts of the world. So God is always going to be a challenge for us to grasp. And that's why sometimes working with Scripture and working with metaphor can be an easier way to deal with it. So if I am the computer, as an individual, as each of you are, and my life, my experience, my sense of who I am, both on the surface that I use day after day to survive and thrive in the world, as well as that part of me that's underneath, that is the oldest part of me, so to speak, the part of me that is the least impacted by what I do day to day, but is the most spirit-filled, that soul that's like that newborn child. That's the software. That's how complicated our systems are, and yet how rich. And what's behind all of that? Giving the energy and the focus and the desire and drive to continue to create and to grow and to become something more? That's God. Romans 1:19-20 says, this is because what is known about God should be plain to them because God made it plain to them. Ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen because they are understood through the things God has made. So we have been shown the mystery always. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. The heavens are telling the story of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
This is like, what does that stuff mean?
There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. We have to work to understand God, like we have to work to understand our own lives. We have to struggle and strive and try to perfect ourselves, as Wesley would say, striving toward the perfection that we may not ever reach. In fact, it's probably safe to say we will not reach perfection. But with each new understanding of ourselves and of our relationship with the divine, we can become more complete, more fulfilled, more struck by the miracle of meaning that God gives to us as we reach out to God and God returns the favor and reaches back to us. It's not something that happens just by reading the Bible or just by coming to church or even just by prayer. It can happen in any of those settings, but if we don't try to give ourselves over to the power of the Spirit in our lives so that the Spirit informs our soul, which then helps us make decisions about our body, then we can feel the unity and the wonder of this life that truly is a grace-filled blessing. In spite of the difficulties and the horrors that are visited in the world all the time, that we even get to be here today and sit and pray and worship and ask for guidance and ask for justice and ask for love and feel some small piece of that coming back to us and changing us in our lives. There is nothing greater than that. I want to close the sermon with a quote from a sacred text from a different tradition. This is a wonderful, unique discourse. The living self is the image of the Supreme Being. We are the image of God. It is neither old nor a child, neither it suffers pain, nor in death's snare is caught. It is not shattered nor dies. In all time it is pervasive. It feels not heat nor cold. Neither has it friend nor foe. It feels not joy nor sorrow. All is its own. To it belongs all might. It has neither father nor mother. Beyond the limits of matter has it ever existed. Of sin and goodness it feels not the touch. Within the heart of each being it is ever awake. The mystery that is God resides within each of us. And there is nothing more life-giving, transformative, or miraculous than acknowledging that and giving yourself the time and space to feel that power of God in you, feel its change, feel that who you are is the miracle, not just the creation by the miracle.